Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Rex. Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Talk to me, baby. Yes, sir. It's a Wednesday.
Shout out to the wake up call, too, by the way.
The story is out there. Part two. There is a part two to this story. There is a part two to the D-Lo and KC kitten story. And we've had a chance. Now, you know, we're a little bit different than the wake up call. We kind of break kayfabe. We were in here really early on Monday because of the Sky River show and because of some changes we made over at KSFM. KC and I were here like 7 something that morning. Mm-hmm. We recorded what you're going to hear tomorrow on Monday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've had a chance, and I don't know if you had the chance yet. I had a chance to hear the entire segment. Like, obviously, I was there. I remember what it sounds like, but the way they put it together, one is magnificent. And if you thought today's story was great with Katie and her foster kittens named D'Lo and Casey, and the
honored, very, first of all, very honored, appreciate it. Thank
the
you.
Very well, the and then the very unfortunate death of
I didn't make it
of Casey the cat.
I didn't make it. Damn.
It actually gets better. It gets better, and the reason it gets better is when KC's reaction to what happened is just spectacular. You have to hear this tomorrow morning, 7:20, with the wake-up call. It's absolutely excellent. And I didn't hear, I had never heard the segment that they posted today, and I listen to their show every day on podcast form. So they were smart with this because this wasn't on their podcast before.
Yeah.
I had never heard the original introduction of D'Lo and Casey the cat, mm-hmm. cats, the kittens. when they start talking about the issue that Casey has, and Gavin goes, wait a minute. How did you determine which one was D'Lo and which one was Casey? And she says, Katie says, well, one looks like D'Lo and one looks like Casey. When Gavin said, was one of them wearing designer clothing? I fell out because I didn't know which one of us he was talking about.
He's talking about you.
I don't think he was.
He's talking about you.
I'm sorry. What is that brand you're wearing?
What's that got to do with anything?
What's the brand you're wearing?
It's just a shirt. It's an off
for the radio
audience. Shirt. Stop it.
Thank you.
Stop. What brand you wearing?
It's a Palm Angel.
Come on, man. Come on. Don't do that.
That's the best part. It's like, I don't know who Gavin is alluding to with this. It's terrific.
All right. Well, just an unbiased third party. When he said the designer, like, my mind went to you. So
that's who?
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, went to D-Lo. Yeah, yeah.
Well, no one asked you.
I think you got that status around the building, though.
Your mic is low, first of all. Second of all. The chat be Googling your clothes.
I don't know why they don't Google yours.
Kyle Madsen discovered you were wearing a $600 shirt one day.
$600.
You're like the, remember when the
was Rockets, it $600?
Wasn't. So, okay, so what are we going to believe? You or the internet?
Me? Internet be saying crazy stuff all the time.
Well, the internet said your net worth was like $400 million or 500 million.
What the internet say your net worth was?
Yeah, but it was a measly number compared to yours.
What? Do you hear this, man?
Yours said 500 million or 400 million.
They tripping. That we all know that ain't right. Well, we saw it.
The way that EA game still paying today. So big thanks to the wake up call for that. It was a lot of fun. It was silly, and I promise you, it's even better tomorrow when we're in studio with those guys. And I know Kevin recorded it, like I don't know if they're editing the video together, but God, working with them was a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff.
There's some good stuff. That show is I listen to them a lot because, like, you talk about Machiavelli and studying the ops and doing all that different type of stuff.
The art of war.
Yeah, the art of war. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. I'm just studying the people I like. And that show's been on the air.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
This show's been on the air 13 years, and, like, listening to them and, like, you know, getting to know. I've made an effort to get to know all of them. I'm going out with Gavin this weekend, I'm going out on Friday, because we really don't know them,
right?
Like, at all.
We barely see them, like, because of the way things
right because of the happen. Schedule and all of that. And they're the big dogs here, and we're the big dogs here. Mm-hmm. And that's always a little. Yeah. It's always a little thing. Well,
and also the other thing, and like you just said, it's great people. We got love. It's good. But they were the big dogs before we became the big dogs.
That dynamic makes it a little different too. Right, right. And they're still very much the big dogs. Yeah. Like, don't get it twisted. But Katie sent a really nice message the day after the 1,000th episode of our show. Mm. And it was the first time her and I, like, ever in 4 years, had an extended conversation. Mm. And I found out we went to the same high school.
Oh, so you didn't know that before that conversation?
No. And you know what killed me? She did. I felt like the biggest ass. Like, how did she know that and I didn't?
Were you guys in the same grade, same there?
We're
the same
2 years apart. We were there at the same time. Mm. I graduated in 98. She graduated in 2000. And
he was the big dog.
I couldn't have felt like a bigger jerk. So it was like, okay, this can't happen anymore. Like, yeah. I need to make an effort to know the people, like, around me. And the guy out of all of them that we see the most is Kevin. Because mm-hmm. Kevin's always around.
Kevin be out there.
But those other two, they've got, you know, so many other things going on. I think Gavin's got 3 kids. Mm-hmm. I've learned that Katie's got a sorority of girls. She's got 4. Yeah. And it's been great getting to know them recently. But it's really been great to study their show. Like, that is a very well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm. They do it great.
And I know TC, like, TC is a fan. Like, TC recognized Gavin mm-hmm. when he came in for the 1,000th episode. Yeah. And I think Zabo watches too, so yeah. or listens.
They do a phenomenal job. And like I said, being, like, far, far, far on the outside, just coming in to this whole industry, being able to actually know those guys, you know what I mean, and talk to them and have, you know, when we were at the tailgate the other day, man, we had a good old time with all 3 of them, man.
Yeah.
And just hanging out. I'll give you a little grace, though.
Kevin might be the funniest dude on the planet.
He, like, legit
might be the funniest person on the planet.
Kevin's hella funny. He'd be cracking me up, man.
Bitch! That's my... I just love that dude. I absolutely love him. Bitch, no!
That is hilarious. I will stall you out a little bit with not knowing Katie was... You went to school with her. I mean, you was the big dog.
I was not. No, sir. No, I absolutely was not the
big
dog.
But still, you were a junior when she was a freshman, senior when she was a sophomore. Maybe that's what...
Yeah, that's
maybe
right.
A little bit more. I mean, come on, man. Only guys like... See, I knew the freshman.
Oh,
I knew the
don't
sophomores.
Do that to me. Don't do that.
Do the halls
don't
of
do
semen.
That.
Well, it's not even.
I should have known you would set me
it's
up.
It's not
for
even
don't
just
do
you.
That.
I mean, in general, that's how the seniors and juniors do. Me, I'm just a different individual. I knew the freshmen. I knew some of the sophomores out there, and it was love. You know what I mean? But I'm just speaking in general, because not everybody could be like good old KC, man of the people. It's okay. It's understandable. Don't beat yourself up for that.
Poor Katie went up to Dame's like, hey, Dame, beat it, kid.
Oh, so, okay. Boy, yeah.
I didn't want to do that because you were looking like, good. Hold on. No, you were looking over here like you were, like I wasn't me on your side. I didn't want to tell the joke, but I had to. I didn't want to, but I had to.
You said two words yesterday, and now you're coming out the gate
shooting. I'm a little bit more energized today. I got a good night of sleep.
Beat it, kid.
Yeah, surround yourself with people like I have. This is what my crew does.
Throw a towel on her head.
Oh, well wait a minute.
Go handle this.
Well, wait a minute. Who threw the towel again? Who was that?
Robert Horry and Danny Ainge.
Treated Katie like Danny Ainge. Don't do that. That did not happen.
Shout out to the El Camino Eagles, though, man. They got D'Lo. They got Katie. They got Ebro. Come on, man. Yeah. Who else?
We got Derek Lee.
Derek Lee. Dusty. No, Dusty went to Del Campo.
Man,
it was popping out there. No, I couldn't even tell you how to get to El Camino right now.
Yeah, we have an actress. I always forget her damn name. We have an actress. We have one of the American Idol singers. The one that just passed away, I think.
Damn. You might be top five in El Camino history. I think
No, I'm not.
It's Derek Lee. It's the actress.
Derek Lee and Ebro. I'm sure the actress is up there. Katie's
Yeah, you're fine. It's it. You top five. What are you talking about?
I don't think that's true.
You top five.
I don't think that's
the what's my girl's name? She didn't go to McClatchy, but she went to Kennedy. Damn, I just seen the clip the other day. My girl from Players Club, she went to Kennedy. The mean stripper.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Diamond? Oh.
Not Diamond, that's Lisa.
Oh, the mean stripper went where?
She went to Kennedy.
Oh, okay.
That's what the streets say.
All right.
What is her name? They're going to say it in the chat in a second.
I don't remember. Okay, well, didn't mean for that to happen, but, you know, it does. But part two of D'Lo and
I think her name was Ron.
D'Lo and Casey, the kittens, will be on the wake-up call at 7:20 tomorrow. We'll come back. There is some 49ers business to, I think, attend to. And obviously, we talked a lot about Christian McCaffrey yesterday. Gosh, after hearing Kyle Shanahan talk, I think there might be a little bit more to talk about than we originally thought. I don't think what you suggested is going to happen. However, I'm not sure if we're going to see Christian McCaffrey anytime soon. We'll talk about it. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's D'Lo and Casey. Brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
This is D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320. Brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Yeah, it looks like DeMar was. DeMar making some headlines today. You'll hear what DeMar DeRozan said to First Take. Mm-hmm. You'll hear what DeMar DeRozan said to Paul George. And you'll hear KC's game number 14.
And I know you watched this one.
I did. I sure did. I didn't even need to prepare for this one this morning. As soon as I saw it on the list, I was like, by God, I remember this game.
By God.
I got it. I got a KC memory when it comes to this one. So... First order of business, there's no indication that the 49ers are going to get in any trouble for the handling of Christian McCaffrey's injury.
As they shouldn't. Everything on the up and up, and just more, like all of my teams.
And more specifically, Jordan Mason's post-game flub that he had about Friday and all of that different stuff. And, of course, Christian McCaffrey wasn't ruled out until, I mean, we were in the final minutes of our show at Sky River Casino, so it must have been like 3:50 when he was ruled out, just about an hour, a little over an hour and some change before kickoff, which, again, isn't, that's not, if Jordan Mason was told he was going to play and start and Christian McCaffrey was out on Friday and the 49ers didn't report that, that's problematic. Kyle Shanahan did a magnificent job of, depending on what you believe, either cover it up or attempt to explain it. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which one it was, and it doesn't matter because I really don't think it's that big of a deal, but we're not in the gambling world, and that's what all of this stuff boils down to is gambling. It's not competitive advantage. It's none of that. It is Las Vegas. Right. That's what all of this boils down to. But it doesn't appear that the 49ers are in any trouble, and I know you kind of
anyway.
Well,
because the number would have went down,
right?
And you would have lost, though.
And I know you said this sarcastically. Oh, everything's on the up and up. In the end, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's really not that big of a deal. However, I thought what Kyle Shanahan, and we got some of the quotes during the show. But man, it felt a little bit different hearing the press stuff from Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. He said that the San Francisco 49ers are going to be careful with Christian McCaffrey moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I think Ian Rappaport reported this morning, he's already here on Wednesday doubtful for Sunday versus Minnesota. And now I'm thinking back to what you said yesterday about, hey, how realistic is IR? It automatically rules him out 4 weeks. We know how good Christian McCaffrey could be. Obviously, you had that performance from Jordan Mason. We'll see what he looks like again on Sunday. Mm-hmm. If things continue to track the way that it certainly appears that they're going to. I mean, the fact that he's doubtful and the fact that Kyle Shanahan just said yesterday they're going to be careful, I wouldn't put a single penny on Christian McCaffrey playing on Sunday. While I don't think IR is real, I don't think IR is something that they're considering because that's an automatic 4 weeks. I do think it's obviously it's unlikely we see him Sunday. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be surprising to me, just Kyle Shanahan's tone yesterday, if he doesn't play for another week or two.
Yeah, honestly, man, I wouldn't even chance it. I wouldn't even chance it because something like that, you want to make sure it is as close to back to 100% as possible. And I don't want to be like this because there is a notion that all that matters for the 49ers is the Super Bowl. And while I've said that and I agree, I think that there's value and there's importance in focusing on this season, focusing on these games that you play. Don't take these games for granted. I think that's a lot of times where teams get in trouble with trying to repeat and trying to get back up to the mountaintop. Like, no Trae Young here, but to get bored with the regular season because all that matters is the Super Bowl. No, you have to treat the journey with a certain level of respect to be able to get back to that ultimate spot. I'm a true believer of that. And I want the 49ers to treat week two as serious and as special as they did last year or the year before or anything like that. I say all that saying, you need Christian McCaffrey in December and January at 100%.
Yeah.
You don't need to rush him back right now. And I'm not even saying like you don't need it because you'll beat everybody anyway. No, you might lose some games because you don't have Christian McCaffrey. But it's not worth it to have him going through this all season long or worst case scenario out because of something catastrophic, trying to push him back out there in week two or week one or anything like that. So I after talking to you guys yesterday, I don't know if you need to lock yourself into him not playing by putting him on the IR. Maybe you take it week to week, but in the back of Kyle Shanahan's mind, maybe he's looking at like, yeah, we probably ain't gonna use him for first 3 weeks or so, 3-4 weeks.
That's one of the it's one of the interesting predicaments, I guess. That's probably not the word I'm looking for, and I'm very bad at finding these words in the moment, as Casey learned yesterday while we were trying to do something, and I just couldn't find the right word. But
it's to all of us.
It's something that faces teams that have only one expectation, mm-hmm. right? There are a handful of them, and I think you brought up the Ravens. Like if the Ravens go to the Super Bowl and fall short, yeah, it's tough. But I don't think they're not like. Obviously, you lose the championship, you're dejected over it. But it doesn't feel like, oh my God, this is awful. This is never going. That's not what it feels like if the Ravens lose, right? That's what it feels like if the 49ers lose, mm-hmm. and it's a unique form of management, because we even asked, you know, prior to the Jets game, could the 49ers look a little bit different in the regular season and still wind up in the same spot? Mm. What was it, 12-5 last year?
12-5, yeah.
Could that become
basically a 13-4 team?
11-6. Mm. Could it become something different where they are on the road for the divisional round, or like, could the regular season look a little bit different with the idea of ultimately getting to where they want to go? And these are the types of situations that you have to manage. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, again, not knowing the true severity of Christian McCaffrey's injury, I'm not sure if they do this last year.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not. They know we can get back there. They did it. They just did it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they make this same move this last year. Now you're and even at the time, Christian McCaffrey's still really new.
Yeah.
He finished, you know, the season prior, mm-hmm. but I think you're managing things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of coaches in the league that would happily trade places with Kyle Shanahan to have this predicament, to have this problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tough spot for Kyle Shanahan to be in.
Yeah.
It's you certainly don't want to sacrifice wins and losses. You don't want to sacrifice what the other guys are doing out there, Trent Williams, the rest of them. But you got to feel a tremendous boost with what Jordan Mason was able to do. Mm-hmm. That, to me, impossible to say. That probably influenced, even if it's just a little bit, that's got to influence their thinking moving forward with Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean,
and as you pointed out yesterday, Bobby Turner,
shout out my boy Uncle Bobby. That's my boy.
Is he gonna be out there running?
He out here running for 134.
Well, there you go. Hey, 94 before contact. It's not impossible.
But yeah, I just think. The other thing that helps Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers out a little bit is their roster. Christian McCaffrey is phenomenal. I'm not here to diminish him. I'm not here to say what I said with Brandon Ayuk when he was going, like, I think he's more. I'm not here to say any of that. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. They can win 11 to 12 games if Christian McCaffrey's not on this roster. That's how good the team is. That's how good they are.
Sure.
You know what I mean? They're loaded at a number of different positions on both sides of the ball. So because of that, if you're looking at Christian McCaffrey and saying he needs to be out 3-4 weeks or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. typically – teams are looking at that like the Eagles with Saquon or something like that, are looking at that like, oh man, we just got to hold it down till he comes back. You know, maybe 2-2, keep our head above water and all this other stuff. Niners are like, yeah, we won't have Christian. We might start off the season 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have that level of talent,
sure.
where Kyle doesn't have to look at it as I'm sacrificing mm-hmm. games to make sure he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I'm just making sure he's healthy.
Yeah.
We can still win a bunch of games. Like, I don't want to go live in that world. Like, I want him there. But we could still win our first 6 games,
mm-hmm.
even if we don't have Christian McCaffrey. And that's kind of the luxury that he has with this right now.
Yeah, the roster and the fact that, I don't mean to harp on Jordan Mason's performance, but it does feel like an important part of this. Maybe it didn't make the decision easier, but it sure felt like it would have, because it makes so many things easier on Brock Purdy as well. When you have a running back who's a threat the way that he was, when you have an offensive line as good as the 49ers were on Monday, when you have a group that performed as a unit, I just mentioned the 94 yards before contact out of the 147. That's not just, and I absolutely don't mean to diminish him in this line. That's a performance of a group. That's a performance of Jordan Mason and that offensive line working together in that situation to be able to do that. Like Derrick Henry has almost a want and a desire to hit someone before he does anything else. Mm-hmm. It's almost mandated in the way that he runs. But the way that the 49ers offense schemed everything, the Vikings, for example, they're scheming as much for the offensive line as they are for Jordan Mason. Mm-hmm. They were like, we can't give him that space. We can't allow them to push us around.
Right.
And again, Jordan is a big part of that. We've seen running backs succeed with the 49ers. We've seen multiple third-round picks fail. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Brady, first time, releases his top three stars of the week.
Oh.
And
all right, Tom.
Micah Parsons is in there.
Mm-hmm.
My boy Baker Mayfield is in there.
Baker played well.
And Jordan Mason is in there.
Yeah.
You get an acknowledgement from the GOAT. First game of the year,
mm-hmm.
and that's gotta build something moving forward.
Yeah,
and don't give him any more post game interviews. But other than that, he's just fine.
No comment.
Yeah, I plead the fifth.
But you know, and here's the interesting thing about Jordan Mason. I know he burst on the national scene with that Monday night performance, but if you've watched the 49ers since he's been there, there's always been a level of intrigue with Jordan Mason, and be like, he's kind of a solid guy. Like I wouldn't have predicted in his first start he's running for 100 and whatever, but he looked like a good back. He looked like a good back, a good solid back, maybe a change of pace type guy. So I say that to say, this doesn't seem like a fluke. This doesn't seem like we didn't even know who this guy was, and all of a sudden he's running for 140 yards or something like that. There were signs before Monday of, and that guy might be solid. And then you saw him with a full workload and, you know, he performed the way he does. And I'm not expecting him to have 147 on Sunday, but he's a capable back. Like he's capable. He has all the traits that Kyle Shanahan and Bobby Turner are looking for in a running back. And it's a good fit. It's a really good fit. So he may have surprised a lot of people nationally, but watching the 49ers, I think he was a rookie last year. He might have been his second year last year. But however long he's been here, we've seen this guy and thought that he was
Jordan?
Yeah. Thought that he was pretty intriguing. So
I was only confused when they were calling him JP.
I don't know why he changed. When he changed, what are we doing?
Well, I don't think he did, because weren't they calling him Jordan on the broadcast?
Yeah, but
it was your boy. And the other boy who kept calling him JP, I was like, "What?"
I think that was like on his graphic, like.
Oh, JP. Did it say JP?
I felt like it was.
Oh, I missed that. Wrong. I missed that.
But and that's like in.
Well, you watched it twice. You'd know better.
Well, no, I'm saying in the years past,
it said JP in the years past.
I thought it did.
I don't think so.
I don't. Well, I'll tell you this. I ain't trying to be. Should I say I ain't trying to be? I wasn't listening to them. So I wouldn't be getting JP out of nowhere.
That's a good point.
So if I'm thinking JP and you're thinking JP, you ain't getting it from them either. Yeah. You must have seen it and all this other stuff.
Point made. Point made. Point made.
Respectfully.
Shout out Michigan Wolverines. The person, not the team.
Yeah, no, the team too. Still your national champion.
No, we need Michigan needs a better namesake. Michigan Wolverines isn't a cheater.
Wow.
He's a wonderful individual.
Michigan Wolverines, the school, not cheaters as well.
Okay, pal.
Stop.
Jesse asked if Brock, how'd they do this weekend? Have we talked about that?
Who? We hadn't taught college at all. We ain't taught college at all.
So okay.
Is it too late to talk college?
Sure. What would make you feel better?
We could talk about, I mean, they still, this is the new college football. They still a potential playoff team.
No, they still alive, yeah.
I think I saw they finalized their coach's deal today, too, so.
You mean they could have gotten out of it?
I saw on ESPN.com they finalized Moore's deal. Congrats, Kenny.
That's crazy. They had a chance to get out of it this whole time.
Why didn't they call me? Actually, at some point, we should be. College football was kind of crazy.
College football this weekend was nuts.
It was kind of crazy. It's been such a busy 2 days.
Tune in because we'll bury black coaches. Yesterday, Jason Jones joined us. We buried all the black coaches in college.
More black quarterbacks will be buried.
We set football back 60 years yesterday on this damn show. Jesse asked if Brock Purdy did anything to stand out on Monday. And I thought that was a funny question because we barely mentioned Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. I feel like we barely talked about him at Sky River on Monday. I feel like we barely talked about him in the win yesterday. Mm. And maybe that's because of the performance Jordan Mason had. Maybe it was because the sudden absence of Christian McCaffrey. Maybe it was because what Trent Williams did or the drop pass from Brandon Ayuk or just the fact it was a dominant win. As you, I thought, brilliantly put yesterday, just a lulled you to sleep. The million-dollar dream put him out in the middle of the ring just slowly. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a stunner. Wasn't an RKO out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It was you slapped on a submission and just waited for them to fall asleep.
That's it.
And that's what they did. And I realized Brock Purdy was fantastic.
He's really good.
And Kyle Shanahan talked yesterday. Like he was near perfect. He didn't make a ton of mistakes. When they did get, and it didn't happen often, when they did get pressure on him, mm-hmm. he got rid of the ball.
Yeah.
He didn't overdo it. He wasn't skittish. He just looked like a comfortable quarterback against a good defense mm-hmm. that did what he had to do for his team to win.
Yeah, I thought he was really good on Monday night. And, you know, I'm watching the game with my guy, Coach JT, and my man, Dondre, and everything. And whenever it was third down or, you know, third and three, third and four, you know, some people were like, man, run it, run it, run it. And sometimes that worked too. But I was like, no, put the ball in Purdy's hands, let him make a decision. I have full trust in Brock Purdy, full trust in him. And he sees the field the right way. He's going to make the right decisions more times than not. And that's what Monday was about. He played his role. He did his job. When the chains need to be moved with the pass, he made sure he put it where it was supposed to be. You know, if it was time to keep running the ball or we're close to the end zone, then, you know, we're gonna pound it into the end zone. He made sure that got taken care of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's exactly what I want a quarterback to be. Now you have your Mahomes who can make plays, Lamar Jackson. Even as much as I like Lamar Jackson, you know I love Lamar Jackson. That's my boy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd like always trust like not Lamar Jackson, but a quarterback like that's decision making.
Well, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is a perfect example.
I mean Tony Romo. Like there's a lot of guys right. who they want to. This might not be fair. Prove that they're the guy. I got to make the play right here, mm-hmm. rather than relying on everybody to make the play.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I got you. I know exactly what you mean.
And Brock does that beautifully. He does it beautifully, man. I feel 100% comfortable with him and his decision making. And yeah, man, he was really good on Monday. Really good on Monday. And then it becomes one of those things as well where we see it a lot with the 49ers. And Kyle will do this in a heartbeat. We up three scores at the start of the fourth quarter. We're running the ball pretty much the entire fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. There were no passes going on or nothing like that. And, you know, you take the air out of the ball.
So it always reminds me of was it Julius? Who was the Cowboys running back that was with Marion Barber the third? And they would run.
I want to say Julius Jones.
It wasn't Julius Jones.
No, he was from Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
Fred Jones?
No.
It was
Felix.
Felix Jones.
No. It was Julius. It was
Julius Jones or Felix Jones?
Maybe it was Julius Jones.
Is the player. I don't know if there's another.
Julius Jones is the one I'm thinking of, because Marion Barber III, they would run Julius for
two and a half, three quarters.
Yeah. And then in comes Marion Barber III in the fourth, and he's the Derrick Henry type, and they give him the ball. They give him the ball the whole quarter, and the defense is like, this is BS. Who's this dude? And before you know it, the Cowboys have a 7.5 minute drive to start the fourth quarter.
Right.
Tony doesn't throw the ball one time, and the game, which was very much in reach to start the quarter, is now suddenly over.
No longer in reach.
Yeah, it's suddenly over. Yeah. No, there's another player.
I remember Julius.
I remember Felix Jones. There was another player before Felix Jones, and I thought it was Julius something.
Felix Jones. Maybe it's not Julius. Him and Darren McFadden at University of Arkansas was electric. It was some good stuff.
Man, Felix Jones was really good for two or three seconds. Julius Jones went to Oklahoma.
Julius Jones, as Ramsey points out in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House, is Thomas Jones's brother. Thomas Jones is in P-Valley. Thomas Jones was a good running back for the Bears.
Is that show just two seasons?
I think they got a new season out. And,
oh, they do? That second one was a little... I think I got one episode in and was like, boy, I don't...
I saw it all the way through. And
was it tough?
It wasn't tough. It was just, there was some moments where it was like, wow.
Oh, there's definitely some wow moments. There were some wow moments in season one. For God's sake, the show is called P-Valley. You can figure out what that means for yourself.
Down at the pink.
What was it in Mississippi? Oh.
Mississippi, because my girl was Mississippi. That's my girl.
Oh, my God.
Man, that's my girl, Mississippi.
All right.
So yeah, Thomas Jones, former NFL running back, is in P-Valley. And that's Julius Jones's brother.
All right. For everyone texting Felix Jones, it's not Felix Jones. I'm telling you right now, it's Julius Jones. If y'all don't leave me alone, it's Julius Jones. I'm pretty positive-ish. I'm looking at the rookie running back, Marion, right there, 2005. Got it. 2005. That was the year that they did that. And Marion Barber got paid off of that.
Yeah.
He got a huge contract out of that.
Marion the Barbarian.
Didn't live up to it.
But got paid.
My mom, she was dating this guy who was a big Cowboys fan who used to always talk about Marion Barber. And he gets so upset with me because, you know, I could be talking sometimes, like, kind of dismissive. He'd be like, Kenny, you see what Marion the Barbarian did? It's like, this guy's just going to lose. Oh, I hate talking to you. You always start this. What'd I say? He used to get so upset with me.
Yeah, whatever, Cowboys fans can be defensive. I understand.
Whatever, you ain't going to win. And then they lose in the playoffs. And I'll be like,
you don't hear from them?
I'll be like, I told you. And then the next time I see him, I'm like, I told you it was going to happen. It happens every year. I talk to him like I talk to Dodger fans.
Yeah. You know, the thing about Trista saying she wasn't buying it.
I think they're good. I am with all the week one stuff, all the things that I felt going into the season. Week one isn't enough to change anything that I feel.
I'm with you.
So the concerns that I have about the Cowboys are still the concerns I have about the Cowboys. But they look good in week one.
The moment they win a playoff game is when I'll buy them.
Wow. There you go. All right.
Looks like they'll be on the shelf for a while.
Well, there's that. There is that. Well, most people do overreactions on Monday. We don't. We do overreactions Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes Thursday.
Saturday.
I think we might have done them on a Friday once.
When it turns to NFL reactions.
Yeah. NFL reactions, indeed. But we have week one overreactions coming up next here With D'Lo and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Right over there, bud.
Well, yeah, I am. You know, once again, I can't remember exactly, so I'm going to say the third annual. The third annual D'Lo and KC Pick'em League. Week one is over. Mm-hmm. Your boy, I thought I got a more games right than this. I'm in, I don't even know what place this is. I'm tied with 40 other people. I got 11 right, but we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people tied for first place with 14 correct picks in week one. We got Chris Herrera. We got Josh Montero. We got Matt J.
Okay.
And then we've got Soren. Our guy Soren. Yeah. He's got 14 tied for first place. And John Bull. John Bull is tied for first
place. Why do you sound so surprised about John Bull?
I didn't see it happening. I didn't see it happening, but, tap in. If you want to tap into the league, you can. You might win.
You're week behind. Where are you?
I couldn't tell. My guess is.
Well, how many did you get right? 27th.
I got 11. Yeah, but there's a gang of people with 13. There's a gang of people with 12. There's a gang of people with 11.
Damn shame.
But, it's only a matter of time before, I make my move and get up to first place.
Didn't Dr. David win last year? Who won last year?
I don't know. It was somebody in the chat, though, I think won. It was either that or the March Madness League. I can't remember.
Did you catch, shout out to Manny and Katrina. Katrina, I'm going to need a little more from you, Katrina. and Kyron, I'm going to need you to just talk louder. But the debut of the Chatty House After Party is already the third most watched radio show in...
Damn, that's crazy.
Sacramento. Right behind D'Lo and KC and the Insiders, there's the Chatty House.
Come on.
Yeah, all right.
It's a shoot.
It is.
It's easy to look up and see. That's crazy.
I ain't gonna say that. I'm just chilling.
All right, man.
I'm just chilling.
Weaken the knees. Stand up.
Could you imagine?
To the Chatty House. No, but nothing else. That's all I'm saying. It's just a testament.
No, for sure. And we'll go. But just could you imagine seeing that? The blow to your ego, like the cereal connection beats your ass the first time he turns the microphone on. that's crazy. Katrina there drinking wine. Kyron with some earbuds in his ear and just got beat up. That's tough, man. That is tough.
No, man, come on, man.
I tapped in for a little bit. I lost track because it was a... it was an eventful night on television. I thought speaking of people getting their ass whooped. God damn.
people I had arguments and told me differently. They were like, nah, it's crazy.
Oh, there
it was even.
Who are you talking to?
I ain't gonna say.
I'll say this. 15 minutes in, I was worried. My man was one, I thought it was hilarious. He never looked at her. Not one time. He never looked at her. He looked forward that when they were on that immigration topic, he couldn't help himself but overdo it. But he had everything on his side. And it was like, whew. All right.
Hey, man, look.
All right, don't do what Hillary did. You gotta stay the course. Mm-hmm. And she did. And then when she hit him with the... It seems like he's having a difficult time accepting the results of the... He was done. He was furious.
What she told him, the people you work with are laughing at you. They laughing at you.
You see the clip where everyone's like, I think she was about to call him a bitch. Hey,
look,
she said, this former president,
look, and I'm only gonna say this because Waltz said the same thing. I saw an interview with him. He said the same thing and I understand him. And I think I've said it to you. I think you're and Walt said this. This is why I feel comfortable saying it. Mm-hmm. He said, if this wasn't such a serious situation, he'd be hilarious.
He'd be
hilarious when he said, they're eating dogs.
I'm not going to lie. I ran that clip back about like 10 times.
Wait a minute. That's not even the craziest thing he said. The transvestite inmates getting sex changes in jail? What?
No.
That was so bad. Kamala didn't even have... What?
No.
This is a presidential debate?
Wait a minute. No, I did kind of crack up. What he said, this wasn't right either. You guys got to understand. But what he said, and then Joe Biden, I don't know where he's at. They just threw him out like a dog.
No. You know what part got me? You know what part? You know when I knew he was cooked? He was just absolutely cooked? Is when... It was right around there. He's like, you guys just threw Joe Biden out. Oh, and he hates you, by the way. He hates you. I was like, oh, he is pissed. He is pissed off. He handled the first 15 minutes perfectly, the way he was instructed to, the way they went over
and he
it.
He lost it.
And then the next 85 minutes, he absolutely he lost it.
What was the other talk? And then we can move on. But he said, they said, what did he say? They said, what's your plan? And he said, I don't have a plan, but I have a construction.
Oh, just
concept,
amazing.
The concept.
No, I have a concept of a plan. And the moderators looked at him like.
I got to say, too, for those of you who posted that quote with Luke Walton picks, that wasn't very nice.
Oh, no.
That wasn't very nice.
Luke ain't bothering anybody. Luke is not bothering anybody.
Okay. Jesse is right. It wasn't nice.
I love,
but it was funny.
Well, that's funny. That's not what's in question.
What's the phrase? A construct of a plan?
No, it's like I have a concept of a plan.
A concept of a plan. That is going to be the most used phrase of the next 6 months. A concept of a plan.
That's crazy. But
everyone was just dropping like GMs.
Threw him out like a dog.
Everyone was just dropping like GMs and head coaches. I think Robert Saleh got one in there.
Oh no! Walls is so right. If it wasn't so serious, this would be so funny.
Dude, man, come on. He's a mess.
And we were in a group chat that you didn't participate in this morning.
Well, there was a lot going on. I was just reading and educating myself.
But I don't think it matters.
Oh, no, this is a tight race.
Yeah, I don't think it matters.
This is a tight race.
I think it would have mattered if it had gone the other
way. Right. Like she
couldn't
that.
Lose. Yeah. Like she had to have that moment that she had. But yeah, 15 minutes in, I was like, oh boy, I was still here. And I was like, I'm getting out of here. And then it just slowly started to unravel.
Davion Mitchell, I don't know where he's at. You just threw him out like a dog.
Why are you throwing out dogs, sir? That's not what you're supposed to do.
Turns to De'Aaron Fox. Sabonis doesn't like you.
Oh my God. When he said, oh, and he hates you. Oh, that was so funny to me. Like audible laughter funny.
Oh man. But Walt's literally, like, you know, I've said that privately. Walt said that last night in an interview. I was like, oh yeah, I'm not the only one.
He is an amazing manipulator. Like the idea of having an abortion after the baby is born was one of the most incredible things I have ever heard in my life.
I think you guys are up to it for 9 months. Hell, when the baby's out, I think they're up to it.
Sir, that's not an abortion anymore. That's murder. What are you talking about? He said, yeah, they just put the baby on the side and figure out what to do. What? How is this real? Like, how is this real life? Like, what are we living through right now?
She's just looking at him like, what?
Oh my God!
Oh, that was wild, man. That was wild. But
and then the endorsement heard around the world.
Well, yeah, that stopped everything.
Oh, you know what I was so happy about? I was so happy about this. She posted that picture and said, "Off, f all you hoes. Turn the comments off."
Oh yeah, she. Had,
I do not care what any of y'all think.
It don't matter. I said what I said, and I'm moving on. Simple as that.
Salute.
I Let's fact check something.
Okay. Are they eating dogs?
No, it has nothing.
Does Joe Biden actually hate Kamala Harris?
And it had nothing to do with the debate.
Oh, okay. What'd you fact check?
Well, we don't have to go into it. You said something. And,
okay, what'd I say?
Well, you were just saluting the chatty house, and what you said was accurate.
Well, what, did you think I made it up?
No,
I thought you were going to like, it wasn't totally.
Like, I was like, it was 100% accurate. I was like, damn.
Oh, you thought I was clowning.
No, I just needed to see it, because that's crazy.
It's the third biggest show in the Sacramento market. Sports show in the Sacramento market. Shout out to the Serial Connection.
Serial Connection doing its thing.
Kyron, Katrina. And
big ups.
Ramsey was like, I'm not doing it. I don't even know. Ramsey was probably working. I don't know where Ramsey was last night, but I was looking forward to seeing him. Ramsey would be really good at this.
He would.
I really believe, like, Ramsey knows sports.
Right.
I was really looking forward to hearing Ramsey.
And Ramsey, you know why Ramsey would also be pretty good? Because he is so set in his opinions that it would piss people off. Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine Ramsey taking a call?
Oh. Oh, that's good. Oh, that'd be so good. I'm just picturing Manny going, you know Katrina hates you. Just hates your guts. Getting upset because like Ramsey just refuses to change his ways.
Someone said Ramsey, yeah, I think you're wrong because of this, this, and that. Was this, this, and that.
So? Bye. So? Bye.
I don't really care what you got to say. I'm going to the San Jose Earthquake Games.
You're probably doing that.
So with the show, you know a little bit more about it than I do, I guess. Is there going to be rotating hosts?
I think Manny
is always there.
I think Manny's a staple. I think Kyron might be a staple. I'm not 100% sure those guys can, but Manny is the one who's really been kind of pushing this thing through. They're going to do it every week. I believe they're going to do it every Tuesday night.
Nice.
And I don't know if Zay's ever going to jump in or Drew down, or I'm not really sure how they're doing that part, but I do know other members of the Chatty House will join the show as things kind of go along.
That is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
I think it's awesome.
Great job by Manny and everybody involved.
And I love that we have the free, like you're on our company's platform and you don't have to do the, and I'm not saying this is clowning because we all live through this, but you talk openly about this. We're not posting it to SoundCloud and, you know, with mm-hmm. with 10 people listening. Like, mm-hmm. all right, we've built something up here. You have helped us build something here.
That's right.
So let's take advantage of all of this.
Yep.
And that's why we love having Kyron on. I was talking to Rich from Anywhere mm-hmm. at the, or
shout
Everywhere.
Out Rich. Yeah, Rich, shout out Rich from Everywhere.
Rich got a book coming out. He was like, hey, could we do something on the show? I was like, yeah. He was like, well, I didn't really want to ask. I was like, why? We ask you guys to do stuff all the time. Yeah. Just tell us what you need and we'll make it work.
Yeah, man.
We'll make it work, man. So we're proud of you guys.
Coming out. All right. I see you. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's a dope group we got here, man. That's for sure. It's a dope group we got here. And we had a great week one of the NFL season. And I think there's a couple of things that we can react to or perhaps overreact to.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.